We're doing low today. Well, good morning, church family. I don't get to do this very often, so I feel a bit nervous today, but I also feel the privilege of being able to share the word with you. We're coming to the end of Romans, and we've been on it a few weeks, and so it's a privilege to be given the end of it. And I was actually given three chapters to choose from, and I thought, whoa, that's a bit heavy. How can I narrow it down? So I had to do a little bit of reading and figuring out what part of the end of Romans I would share with you today. Bevan asked the question last week. Does anybody remember, if you were here, what that question was? I just like to do a little bit of recap so we're not falling off the wagon. He asked this: what could a life of sacrifice look like for us? Have you thought about that over the week? Well, he talked about living sacrifices. You don't have to answer it out loud. I just thought that I would bring it to you. And I just think that leads in beautifully to the time that we'll spend this morning as we think about what are we choosing to be and what does God want us to be. A little question for you. Can answer this one. Just three or four people. What do you think makes us who we are as a Miramar Salvation Army? What do you think makes us who we are as the Salvation Army Miramar? You can share. You can get your thoughts. Just relationships. Experiences. Talents, our love of Jesus. Any other ideas? Sorry? Acceptance. Beautiful. Anything else that you think makes us who we are? Welcoming. Is that what I heard? Yep. Anything else? Holy Spirit. All ages, God in us. Just keep hold of those thoughts as we move through this morning. I've actually called this today, what are our squad goals? We're a bit of a squad here, aren't we? You know, we're a community of faith. And so I thought this morning, as I read through Romans 15, which we're going to focus on a little bit, I called them squad goals. What do we think our squad goals are? And I'm hoping that as I work through this, it'll not only help us as individuals, but it'll also help us as a community of faith to keep focused on the things that we need to keep focused on. And I haven't been in too many of the previous speaks over the weeks because I've been in kids' church. So if I repeat anything this morning, it'll just be reinforcement to you all. So Paul was writing this letter to the Romans at a time he hadn't even gone to Rome. He hadn't even been there. And there was a lot happening in Rome when he wrote this letter. And it was a letter. It wasn't a reading or a book. He was writing to them as a letter. The Jews had been expelled. The Christians were getting a hard time. And then once everything settled down, the Jews started to return. And there was the meshing together of the Gentiles, and that's why he talks a lot about in that reading about the Gentiles, because there was the Jews and the Gentiles needing to come together to build the church. And there would have been many different beliefs. The Jews were very settled on law and how things were being done, and the Gentiles, well, they just kept getting sidetracked with the things of the world. And so you had this very, very two different groups of people trying to come together to build this thing. And I think Paul knew that he needed to write this letter to them, even though he was far away. Some people say that when the church met Rome or came to Rome, it became a religion. And I think that was a bit of a concern for Paul along the way. So he wanted to outline the very essence of Christian beliefs. And so some of the biblical commentators have labelled this book like a theological treatise. And Bevan and Michelle have tried to unpack that with you over the last few weeks. So in many ways, I wonder if we are like the coming together of the Jews and the Gentiles. You know, I don't know about you, but I just sometimes wish that everybody thought like I thought. And wouldn't it make the world a great place that everybody thought how you thought? And you know, and it's like if they just think of how I thought about things, we'd be just fine. But then I think about that and I think, God, that's just scary. You don't really want to be thinking. I'm complicated and I have some very complicated thoughts and I think a lot about things and get myself into all sorts of trouble when I put them out there. So when I look across this wonderful group of people, our church family, there's so much going on in this room, isn't there? We all think different things. We've all got different stories. We all come from different backgrounds. Some of us have been around for a while. So it's like, oh, when you're new, what's the rules? You know, how am I meant to behave here? You know, some of us are new. Some of us are new to our faith. Some of us have been doing that for a long time. And so I think sometimes it can be really hard to navigate, but I think equally exciting to think how different we all are as we come into this space together and as we claim for Miramar, as we do this thing called the Christian faith community. But Paul knew that even in the Gentile world, how easy it was for them to not seek a godly life. And we're a bit like that too sometimes, aren't we? We get waylaid and we get sidetracked by so many different things that are going on. And he wanted to make sure that at least he did his best by telling the church in Rome. And see, Paul understood his own journey as well. He understood the grace and the love of God. And we do that as well, don't we? We testify to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And their scripture leans into saying not to make that hard for anybody else to know who God is. And for the church not to make that hard for anybody else to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. However, I think sometimes the church is the biggest barrier to people getting to know that. And so I think today Paul gives us an important reminder of what it is for us to not be a barrier, to be the authentic version of ourselves and the authentic version of who God wants us to be. So as we think about our squad goals and we think about what we've shared in the room this morning, let's take a look at scripture that tells us what our Christian fellowship should be marked by. And everything we've said this morning is all good stuff. And they're all things that make us who we are. But I'm just going to point out some other things. Well, they might have already been said as well. And the first thing I think as part of the scriptures we see in verses 1 to 3 is the consideration of others. We live in a very me world. And we were challenged last week about busy. Sometimes I think this is my little busy badge. I refuse to own that and to make sure that my life isn't tied up with all the things that are going on around me. While Paul here was dealing with the duties of those in the Christian faith, there is an amazing appeal in that very first part of that scripture that says you've got to look out for each other. And I think that reminder is timeless to us. And there's this quote by Dr. Doolittle, and he says this, "We may not look like it, but we just belong together. We may not look like it, but we're meant to be in this place. We're not here by some chance this morning. We're here because this is our Christian community, and this is where God wants us to outwork what that looks like for us." And I think there's a sense of consideration of others. Just reminds me, as I was thinking about this, I was like, of our whakapapa. It's something that is gifted to us by our ancestors. It's passed down from generation to generation, and it's what builds strong churches, and it builds strong groups of people. It unlocks our sense of identity when we think of our whakapapa. And we inherit a legacy that Christ has given us through his grace and through his righteousness, which we've talked about in previous weeks if you've been around. And this is the place where I belong. When people find their whakapapa, they find their identity. They find where they're meant to be. And the great thing about our whakapapa is that it informs our future as well. And it also positions us in the here and in the now as we consider others in our Christian walk. You see, I think the church plays a pivotal role, and it should be what we're known for. We're known for the consideration of others. And Paul says, you know, there's going to be some weak people amongst you. And we're like, who's the weak ones? You know, I wonder who they are, you know, because nobody, you know. It's quite a strong word, weak, isn't it? But I think, you know, it's about helping each other. It's about being considerate of where we're all at in our Christian walk. And Paul reminds us of the importance of providing a place of love and building each other up to focus, with a focus on the weaker and needing support. And I think for me, this consideration is pivotal in our sense of participation and belonging. You know, if we don't find this a place where we're considered, we don't sometimes find it a place where we can be ourselves, where we can participate, where we can belong and feel comfortable as well. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm quite into intergenerational stuff, not multi-generational, not every other generational, but intergenerational. And it's a whole concept that the church is not very good at, but I think we're getting better at it. And I've got this book, and I probably should have brought it with me, but it's not really a focus of this morning. That's another whole sermon, called The Generative Church. If you ever want to learn about what it is to be truly intergenerational, it's a really, really good book for leadership to get their teeth into. But it says this: it is when generations learn together that they realize that all generations have nothing to teach, have something to teach and to learn from one another. Interpreting scripture and traditions together facilitates community where different generations could not only participate but can contribute. See, we're not waiting for our children to grow up. They're not out there so you can have some quiet time in here. I don't go up there to give you time out. I go up there because I believe in our children. And I believe in you as parents. And I want to be part of your discipleship journey of your family. And so when we go up there, I get the privilege of sitting and sharing and sometimes pulling my hair out and doing crowd control and all those things that come with our tamariki. But there is nothing like that. And so the consideration of us as an intergenerational faith community, I think, is really important. This is a place where I can belong. And we do that really well here as well. This is my tribe, and this is my church family. Paul didn't want the church to be in this thing, not only existing in all its different fractures, but he wanted a body of Christ building each other up, and we are all in this together, young and old, for the good of each other. Keeping each other on track. No generation is more important than another. I hear younger generations, we're the most important. They're not. They are very important. But we're all in this together, and we grow together, and we consider each other. The other thing that Paul mentions in the scripture is the study of scripture, the mark of scripture of our fellowship. And I think that's why I wanted just to read the Bible. Sometimes it sort of gets all mixed in with a lot of other things. Sometimes just putting it out on the table reminds us This is where we get our encouragement from in its rawest sense. It comforts us. This is where we learn about God's dealing with the nation. We see how God journeyed with his people. It's not a book of perfection. I think God could have created that. But he wanted to show us how he journeys with people through the good, through the bad, through the everything. It's not a pretty book sometimes, but it is how we learn to understand who God is. It shows us that God's way is best, even when it's not easy. It corrects us, don't like that either. It shows us his promises and his faithfulness. So the study of scripture and how you do that is up to you. But we want to be marked by scripture. We want to be marked by the consideration of others. And we want to be marked by fortitude. He mentions that in verse 5. Courage, and that's about facing courage and adversity and pain. You know, life isn't easy sometimes. Being part of the church is not easy sometimes. Being a Christian is not easy sometimes. You know, and Niven reminded us in our devotions at prep this morning, you know, that God is God. And we can put him in his rightful place. And we can be bold and strong and courageous, and he will not let us down. You know, what happens when things get hard in our faith community? Sometimes we want to run. We want to go and find something else. But I think when we're marked with fortitude, it gives us the spirit of unity, and it gives glory to God. He wants to know that when it's not going so well, I'm still here. I still take my seat. I'm still here working through all these things that God needs me to do so that I can overcome things. And the things that we can do, we can pray. You know, then we, you know, sitting down in a, you know, just we can pray anywhere, anytime. We can read scripture. I don't know about you, but I really enjoy worship music at home, in the car, and things like that. We can worship. We can participate in worship as well. You know, coming and being and doing something. We can follow the example of others. We can practice perseverance, resilience. You know, our children, sometimes they say, don't have a lot of resilience. We've got to learn that they can fall over and they have to get themselves up by themselves a little bit, knowing that we're here behind them, you know, and doing that. We can't protect ourselves all the time. We can't live in a bubble. It's not good for us. And so God wants us to be marked by fortitude. He wants us to be marked by hope. And I think this is an important one. I think that sometimes we live in a society when we are consumed by me. We are very scared of what's going on in the world around us. You know, what's that old saying? I haven't even got this in my notes. You know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. You know, we are surrounded by things that scare us a lot. Life is a little bit unpredictable out there. It's a little bit unpredictable in here as well. And so, but he wants us to be marked by hope. And I think it allows us, when we are, that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. And I say that to people sometimes. If you don't believe in something bigger than yourself, you are going to just unfold into yourself. And it's not going to be pretty. But when you believe in something, and for us, when we believe in this God who is bigger than us, we have hope in something. You know, what do they say hope is? It's when something good comes out of something bad, something not so good. They say of Winston Churchill that he was sitting in this meeting at a time where the Germans, I think, had invaded France. I don't know if you've seen that story, and Britain was getting very fragile. They were wondering what was going to happen, and the men were sitting around the table going, oh my goodness, we're just doomed, you know, nothing. And what did Winston Churchill says? He says this, I find it rather inspiring. You know, their leader. It was pretty bad back then, and he said, I find it quite inspiring. And I think we know sort of how that story goes. You know, there's got to be hope. They say that when there is no, they say that there are no hopeless situations. just people who have grown hopeless about them. And we need to look. So I wonder, are we a church marked by hope? A hope that God is alive and well, working in and amongst us. You see, there is no one that is hopeless as long as there is such a thing as the love of Jesus Christ. And that's our job. They won't know him unless somebody lets them know about that. I wonder if we're marked by harmony, praise, joy, and peace. I decided to put these all in together because we could be here all morning otherwise. I'll check the time. Okay, we're doing all right. In the scripture, you'll also find them towards the end of that verse, end of that chapter in 9 to 12, 13. And so we want to be marked by those. I'm not really going to unpack those things because we've praised this morning. We want to be known for our joy. We want to be known for our peace. And sometimes these things can be obvious, and sometimes not so much. I'm not saying about us as a church, but some people go, I don't know if I want to go to church because why would I want to do that? They all look a bit glum. They all look a bit this or they look a bit that, you know. And so we want to be marked by harmony, by praise, by joy and peace. We want people to notice those things about us. They're an important part of who we are as a Christian community. And it takes its pattern and example and inspiration from Jesus Christ. You know, we're a happy bunch, you know, and we need to be a happy bunch. And one of the other things, we want to be marked by power. In verse 13, finally, Paul reminds the church that we need to be marked by the power of Jesus Christ. That we will only be all that God wants us to be by the filling of his Spirit. Only with this that we can share the hope that we have. You can't share what you don't have. We have to know these things for ourselves. And he gets to the end of this scripture, and as we come sort of to the end of what I have to say this morning, that we have to be marked by power. And this is Paul's appeal to the church to be united. These Jews and the Gentiles, it's hard when things come together like that. You know, imagine if another group of people decided, or we had to merge with something else, and we go, but we like the way we are, you know? And Paul just says to his church, We've got to work at this, you know, otherwise it's all going to fall apart. And so he reminds us again and again what that is. And so this meshing together with all the different experiences. But the great thing is that when we're marked by certain things, we put our focus on the fact that Jesus came for all. That Jesus came for all. And it's a wonderful reminder of us as a fellowship today as we share in kai together and a cup of tea and a wonderful coffee machine that's been fixed for those who drink coffee, which all make up our fellowship. We've heard all those things this morning, haven't we? You know, to continue to look after each other. Those who maybe we see as, you know, needing us to gather around them and to just to be kind and gentle with each other. And be convicting as well sometimes. Sometimes we need a little bit of a telling off, you know, but we do that because this is where we belong. And we have built a relationship, we heard that word this morning, with each other. And we can't do that if we're all here for our own means and we're all here in our own theological mind and thoughts. And so Paul gave us this reminder of what marks us as a Christian community. And this is where we get to fit into his story, H-I-S, capital letters, his, into God's story. When we're struggling, when we're questioning, when we're trying to find that place to belong in the world, let's hope that it's here, maybe not exactly in Miramar, but in the church, But we'd love it to be here, wouldn't we? We'd love to see these seats filled on a Sunday morning and every morning, and to see us doing the things that the church needs to be doing. And so Paul reminds us to be an inclusive church, a place not where we outwork the law, where I outwork the Salvation Army. Yeah, it comes with a whole lot of stuff. This is what we believe. But mostly he wants us to come and to share the Word of God and to allow people to enter into his story. And I heard this quote this week. It happens to be from our General Lyndon Buckingham. He says some good things every now and again. And this is what he said. And I just want to share it purely because it fitted with what I've been talking about. And he says this to us as his people: be incredibly intentional about seeking the Lord for fresh winds of fire through our gathered communities of faith that pulsate with the love of God in such a way that the place itself will become attractive. And we are for Miramar, and we are for God. And we want to be a church that is marked by the things that he would like us to be marked by. Let's be known for those things. And I think let's not be ashamed of those things. And as Niven reminded us beautifully in our prep time this morning, that we don't have to be on the defense all the time, because God is God, and he is a big God. And so I wonder, the question that I pose to you, what each of us might need to learn or lean into more today. What is it that we're not leaning into because of, you know, your story? What is it that we need to lean into so that this church is marked by the things of God and that we're chasing them together? So as we sing, I'm going to ask you to stand. The music team, I'm not going to lead the music team through. That could be a disaster. Maybe, maybe not. But we're going to sing the song that we sung earlier, Holy Forever. This is what we stand on. We stand on this Holy Forever. You know, there are things that will take us away, that will distract us, and yet he wants us to be holy forever.